So today we're looking at Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. Now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not to please ourselves. Each one of us must please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even the Messiah did not please himself. On the contrary, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction, so that we may have hope. There's John.
We have achieved John.
Through endurance and through encouragement from the Scriptures. Now, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement allow you to live in harmony with one another, according to the command of Christ Jesus, so that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ with a united mind and voice. Therefore, accept one another, just as the Messiah also accepted you, to the glory of God. For I say that the Messiah became a servant of the circumcised on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises to the fathers, and so that Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, and I will sing psalms to your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. All the peoples should praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will appear, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. The Gentiles will hope in him. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help us to understand it, and help me to explain it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hi there.
Hello.
So, another enemy. It's like it's got Boston hat. So, I have a whole shtick about Boston, boy. I was on USS Boston. And the city of Boston mistreated us big time. But at any rate, Paul has been telling them in the chapters that came before this not to despise or condemn others, to get along with them. Now he adds another principle, and that is that he wants us to imitate Jesus. So why are we to accept weakness? Well, we are strong. If we're Christians, we're close to Jesus, and we need to accept the feelings of other people who come to Jesus. Because as they come to Jesus, they may bring things with them. For instance, and this is very simple because it's actually still a Christianity kind of thing, but where are people who have come to our church who are Catholic, and they don't understand the way we do things because we're not what they call liturgical. Liturgical is where you do everything by a set standard and everything, and so sometimes they come and they think that we're too fast and loose about things. But we accept the fact that they want a little more strict structure. And I always tell them, if you have questions afterwards, please come and talk to me. And we will, you know, explain to you where we get our ideas from. And we can discuss it. And once again, I don't believe in breaking fellowship with anybody over anything but exactly how you come to Jesus Christ. So, we should build up those who are not strong, those who may want more structure, those who may want to follow particular principles that we may not think are that important. We need to accept people, even in our own group, who may have beliefs about things. we had a big upset within our organization in the Puget Sound about whether or not we should accept homosexual people into our church. And I got in a little trouble because I said, okay, my principle is that sin is an action, it's not a feeling or a thought. Therefore, if somebody says, I am attracted to other males, or from woman to females, I don't get upset. It's if they're out doing things that God said not to do. And that got me a little bit, but once again, some of us who are stronger, pastors and so on like that, we can discuss these things and argue about them, but once again, we never break fellowship with each other on it. We just have a disagreement. We should help others, not ourselves. We're not trying to say everybody should act like me. Now, sometimes I do that. But what I do it for is if it's a young Christian who doesn't see Jesus clearly, I will tell them, well, if you can't see Jesus well enough to imitate him, follow me as I follow Jesus. Paul had a hard time with that, but you find in some of his later writings, he began to say that. Follow me as I follow Jesus, and when you get to the point where you're strong enough to follow Jesus by yourself, pick that up and go with it, because I'm not going to be around forever. I'm finding out daily that I'm not going to be around forever, but that's a whole other thing. Jesus did this. Jesus taught people, and he helped people out, and he stayed with them, and he didn't condemn them. He just instructed them and tried to lead them gently into the way that it should be. He says we need to have a spirit of unity. We need to live in harmony with all people. We need to not offend people and drive them away while we're trying to lead them to Jesus. We should follow Jesus so people see us and say, there's something different about you. What is it? And then when we tell them, maybe they will follow Jesus too. And we need to accept one another. Now, one of the things that they get into is the idea of judging. If I judge and say, oh, that's wrong, he shouldn't do that, or whatever. Now, when we do that within the church. If I see somebody who's sinning and not turning back, and they're within the church, then I can go, and it's not condemnation, it's just calling them out on something. But if somebody who is not a Christian, who's not living by the name of Jesus, is doing things that I don't think are right, then I have to justify anything I say to them on right or wrong, not on Jesus said, which sometimes is hard to do. But, if somebody does not say I'm a Christian and they're living in sin with a woman, well, I can't call them out on that because they're not saying they're a Christian. But if they say I came to Christ and they're still doing that, then I can say, no, if you're going to be a Christian, you're not supposed to act like that. Which goes once again back to the idea that we have this little spate within it about homosexuality. If somebody comes to me and says, I want to come to your church and I feel attracted to other men, but I'm not doing anything about it, I want you to help me not to sin. They have acknowledged that homosexual sex is sin. And the fact that they have natural urges in one way or another, that's not an action. That's something that is just within them. And so we try to work with that, and we pray about it, and we try to work it out, and we try to help them. And a lot of people have been helped by doing that. But if they continue sinning, then I have to say, no, I can't accept that. You're calling yourself a Christian, but acting unchristian. So the objectives of Jesus' ministry were for us to become servants. We should be a servant to other people and try to help them out. Pat and I very often run into people who say, why are you buying so much of this stuff? It may be something like the bananas that we have here, or the food that we give out. Why are you buying this huge amount? Are you having a party or what? No, we feed people off of the street. And that says to them, we are people who care. Now, they may have a bad attitude, they may say bad things, and we'll just say, okay, and we walk away. But more often than not, we have an opening now to talk to them about Jesus, because they're saying, these are people who care about other people. We need to confirm the promises that we see in the Bible. Jesus continuously spoke about something being a promise of God, and look how it was fulfilled. We very often find ourselves having a problem, and we go pray about it. And when that happens, we should say, oh, look, we prayed about this, and God dealt with it. And that will lead people to say, hey, this is not a trivial thing. This is something that works. And he says that we should lead the Gentiles to serve God. Now, boy, that really got him in trouble with the Jews, because the Jewish people had taken the attitude that Gentiles are fuel for the fires of hell. And but then you notice in our little scripture, they have multiple things from the Old Testament. So these people can't say we didn't know. It was in your scripture, guys, that said, lead Gentiles to know Jesus. So the fact that the Christians, particularly, he's actually writing a letter to the Romans, and the Romans were like they seen as an oppressor and everything. But he says, we need to lead these people to know the same God that we know. And the difference is, we believe we found the Messiah he promised. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, we must accept people as they are, unless they're in sin. If somebody's in sin, we need to say, no, I find that to be a sin. I think you need to stop that. But other than that, we need to accept it. This is the way I want to do something. Well, I don't think that's a good way to do it, but that's okay, because that's you. You know? I'm not going to put it. Somebody comes and says, I don't like the way you worship. We say, well, that's the way we worship. We're not going to condemn the way you worship. That's fine. As long as we're all praising God, we don't have a right to put each other down. There are, in fact, what they call Messianic Jews, and they come in two versions. One is the version that says Christians sometimes don't follow Jewish law, and they just accept that as long as it's not something that goes directly against main commandments of God. But if we eat, for instance, pork, they understand that. But I have known them who they'll just say, okay, that's fine, and we're not going to be upset, but I'm not going to eat the pork, because I believe in my mind that God doesn't want us to. My belief about kosher is very simple. Back then, we didn't have the science we have today. Back then, if I say don't eat anything in the water that does not have scales and fins, everything else is a bottom feeder. If you go out and have a red tide, you don't want to eat the clams. Guess what? We know that now. Back then, we didn't. So God just said, don't do it. I'm just telling you this. Okay? Don't eat pork. Back, well, even today, there's a thing called trichinosis that you can get from eating pork if you don't cook it properly.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the things is like cheeseburgers. You're not supposed to have a cheeseburger because that's dairy and meat together. Well, no. God didn't say you can't have dairy and meat together. God said that don't cook meat in milk. Guess what? We scientifically know that will create compounds that will kill you. So don't do it. Once it's cooked, you can put the cheese on it. That's okay. But see, these are things that we must not offend people's feelings. I used to have a boss who was Jewish, and I would not eat cheeseburgers around him. If I went to the, was that right next door to it, was a Jack in the Box, and I'd get a chicken sandwich or something. I would not eat things that I thought might offend him. And I learned from him a great deal about Judaism and what the rules are. We must be in unity with each other and with all of the people around us. We try to be in unity so we're not being disliked. Now, once again, sometimes you can't help it. If you say you're a Christian around some Muslims, you just went to war. But that's them. That's not us. We're not saying, I'm going to attack you. They're saying they're going to attack us because they believe, and that's a part of the religion, they believe that they need to convert us. We would like to convert them, but we're not going to forcibly do it. So we must be in unity as much as we can. And if it's not something that we can avoid, well, then we just pray about it and say, God, please work this out. I can't do it. And most of all, we must imitate Jesus. That's what this whole thing is about, is imitating Jesus. How did Jesus act when he was in the people around him? What did he do? How did he bring them into fellowship with God? He didn't force it. He didn't threaten them. He just tried to gently lead them in and say, this is why you need to do this. This is why this is good for you. I've always said that it was, we when I was very young, they used to have a thing where they'd walk up to somebody in the street and say, if you died right now, you know you would go to heaven. And they're trying to scare people into heaven. Bill Bright wrote a thing called the Four Spiritual Laws, and it starts out with the most wonderful phrase I've ever heard. God loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And then it explains why we're not fulfilling that plan, and how to fulfill that. And it's great. We're not scaring somebody in heaven. We're trying to say, you really want to come to this, because this is somebody who loves you, that you need to come to. So, we must imitate the way that Jesus dealt with other people. And let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here today. We'd ask you to bless us and go with us and help us to be good servants. Make us your people and make this your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.